Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
Who let the dogs out?
Hello and welcome to Alive to Thrive. That was just a fun way to start our interview today. Who Let the Dogs Out kind of ties into my guest. We're going to be talking with a woman who runs the 5 Acres Animal Shelter, and just all about animal welfare, animal abuse, animal cruelty, how we can help prevent that or report it, and also what we can do in our own community, whether we live in Missouri or whatever state we live in how we can just help promote awareness about how to be responsible pet owners and not leaving dogs in cars and all kinds of topics. So I want to welcome to Alive to Thrive, Becky Krueger. Becky, how are you today?
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for calling in with us. I know you have a big event coming up in just 10 days, and we'll talk about that here later in the program. But I was looking at your background on LinkedIn, and you're not new to the game of working in animal issues, animal welfare. Tell us how you first got started working on these issues with the association in Missouri.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I actually started in animal welfare as a volunteer way back a long, long time ago. I was working in a new city. I didn't have any friends or family around me, and I thought, you know, I want to get involved in the community. I want to give back. I want to have fun and, you know, stay active. And I considered, you know, where could I help out? What could I do? And I thought, well, I like animals, so maybe I'll check out my local animal shelter. And that experience was life-changing for me. I started on weekends just volunteering in the adoption center, cleaning cages, walking dogs, helping people coming in that were interested in adopting to find that perfect match, a new animal to add to their family. And I found myself not wanting to ever leave. I would close the doors and lock up for the night and think the rest of the week, oh, I wonder how the animals are doing, and I wonder if they've found homes, and I just missed it. I wanted to be there all the time. Fortunately, a part-time position opened up as a volunteer coordinator and mobile adoption site manager. And it was weekends, and I jumped on it. You know, so I was working a full-time job in a marketing department for a big company and then going to the animal shelter on the weekends. And again, it was amazing. It was wonderful to work with the animals and the people in that community. And that part-time job turned into a full-time job. And, you know, I was able to get a lot of experience in different aspects of animal welfare, and here I am now running a shelter.
Oh, that's awesome. So it grew out of your passion and your love. So did you have animals as a child?
Oh, yes. I always had animals, always had dogs and cats in the house, and, loved having that companionship, always having my pets around. And even still today, of course, I have a house full, and I can't imagine any other way.
So, so many times I see parents that teach responsible pet ownership to their kids are kids that grow up to be adults like you who care about animals. And then I see parents that maybe they didn't have a good experience or they just don't want the responsibility of a pet. And then the kids are robbed of that of that joy of learning how great it is to have a family pet, to learn the responsibility of caretaking. I mean, can you talk about that a little bit between, you know, families that teach these things at a young age and those that don't?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I mean, there are so many benefits to teaching kids about animals beyond just the animal care and the companionship. The compassionate, you know, sense of being and caring for other people, including, you know, people in, you know, different parts of the country and all over the world, just, you know, fostering that compassion is so important for our parents to be, you know, teaching our kids. And fortunately, there are many programs around our area that offer humane education classes within the school setting. So I know that 5 Acres will go out and talk to school kids. The Humane Society of Missouri, the APA, there are a lot of different groups that will go into schools and incorporate the humane education lessons with the daily curriculum. So it's achieving some of the learning things that teachers have to focus on, like the math and the science and the reading, but we're also throwing in some of that, you know, taking care, you know, being a responsible pet owner and helping people to make good decisions when it comes to their pets. So we try to, you know, educate the kids. Even if it's not happening in the home, at least it's happening in the schools.
Well, I think you touched upon an important point about fostering compassion and mm-hmm. empathy for your fellow human. And mm-hmm. I've had worked in domestic violence programs in the past, and they often had talked about the relationship between animal cruelty and domestic violence. Can you talk a little bit about that and what you've seen, either firsthand or the statistics about that?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. There are many statistics out there that show the correlation between animal abuse and human abuse. So many times, you know, when you have an abusive person, it starts when they're very young, and it starts with animals. So, the correlation is absolutely there. And I think that more people are realizing the need for companionship when you have an abusive situation. When it comes to domestic violence, there are, you know, a lot of barriers that women and men have when they are forced to leave their abusive situation. And when they have pets in the home, that's even another layer of, you know, difficult times when they don't want to leave the abusive situation because they have a pet at home or animals that are so important to them. A lot of shelters, domestic violence shelters, are recognizing that, and there are shelters now across the country that will allow victims of domestic abuse to bring their pets with them, or they can partner with their animal shelters to find temporary placement for those pets while the you know, person's getting back on their feet. So I think that, you know, the trend is we're seeing more of that, and I hope that continues, because I've worked with women and men, you know, over the years that have been in that situation. They need help. They need to get out of that situation, and they need for their animals to be safe and to know that they can get those animals back, you know, once things have settled down a little bit.
That is such a good point. And, I mean, I have talked to women that, you know, they may have left their cat behind, but they had to get out of a situation to save their own life. And sometimes those are the sacrifices you have to make if you're in mm-hmm. that kind of situation. But I think the partnering between the animal shelters and the domestic violence programs is a great thing. So if you are noticing what you suspect might be animal cruelty, whether a neighbor or somebody, you know, I often, I had an experience here. I live out in the country, and a dog showed up at my house with a chain hanging off his neck. And I took him to the vet to see if he was microchipped, and the phone number that was registered on the microchip was wrong. And so I was heading back home, and apparently his owner saw me driving with this dog in my car and said, "Oh, that's my dog. I want it back." And so I gave it back to him. And then the second time, that dog showed up again at my house. I mean, and his house was 2 miles away from me. Mm-hmm. I called animal control, and, you know, I didn't want that man to get that dog back, because he obviously was leaving that dog out 24/7 in all types of weather. So what can someone do if they notice an animal's being abused?
We are fortunate that the Humane Society of Missouri has a fantastic cruelty and investigations department. Anybody can call the number or fill out a report online if you suspect anything is not going well with another, neighbors or pet owners. And it's all anonymous, so you don't have to give your information, but they will go out and investigate the situation. And there are certain laws that, are in place that if the animal is, being mistreated or being neglected, if it doesn't have proper shade or proper housing or access to food and water, then they have the authority to take that animal from that person. So I recommend that anytime anybody suspects anything that is, just doesn't seem right, that to call or to go online and fill out a report so that the authorities can go investigate.
That's awesome. I didn't know that you could report something anonymously and that they would investigate. That's great information.
Yes.
So let's talk about the positive side of the work you do, and that is finding homes, forever homes for dogs and cats. I can barely look at your website because there are so many cute animals, and you capture the soul of the animal with their picture and the look in that eye of, please take me home and love me. And so talk about some of the stories of the animals that have been adopted through 5 Acres Animal Shelter, because you must have some amazing stories.
We do, and it comes down just to the amazing community and the support base that we have. I mean, we absolutely could not do what we do without the help of the community, the volunteers, the staff members here that are working countless number of hours to make sure that these animals get into the right homes. There's stories like, Trace is one that comes to mind. He was a dog that was dropped off at an animal control organization, and he was born with a leg deformity. So he really only walked on 3 legs, and he was overlooked. He was in a shelter that had a high euthanasia rate. We were able to pull him from that shelter and bring him to 5 Acres. We had our vets look at him, and they said, he doesn't need an amputation. He's still growing. Let's kind of see how things go. He can walk just fine. He runs. He plays. He's got a fantastic personality. So, we had him here for a little while, and sometimes the special needs animals are harder for us to place, partly because we want to make sure that it's a good fit, that it's, the people will be able to take care of the animal for its entire life. So we actually took Trace to a parade. 5 Acres was in a parade, and we do this quite often just to get our animals out. It's fun for the dogs to walk in a parade, but it's also fun for us too. Trace did walk in the parade for a little while, but then he rode in the trailer for most of the way. And in the audience of the parade was a woman who just fell in love with Trace. She called us the very next Monday and said, I want to help. She donated the funds to purchase a wheelchair for him. So this was a custom-made wheelchair, and we got it in, put it on him, did some training with him, and he just took off in it. He had so much fun. He was, lightning fast and just having a great time. So we actually put a video together, and that video is on our website if anybody wants to check it out. And Trace was adopted. Someone came in, saw the video, met him, and fell in love, and he's doing wonderful in his new home. So, that was just kind of one example of a lot, the community really pulling together from, the animal control organization working with us to get him here, to the, volunteers taking him in a parade, to the donor with the wheelchair, and the adopter for the happily ever after.
It's so great that we can use things like video and social media to tell the story, and you have a solid background in public relations and social media. I mean, I remember, I was doing fundraising 20 years ago, 25 years ago, and we didn't have access to video and social media. How do you think that has helped your work as an executive director to get the message out to a wider audience?
It has been game-changing for us. When, several years back, we were actually we've been around since 1973. We were known as the St. Charles Humane Society, and there was a lot of confusion over who we were, what we did, and most people in St. Charles had never even heard of us or knew that we existed. So we went through a rebranding process a few years back, changed our name, really tightened up some of our marketing and our you know, graphics and our images, and that was really close to around the time that social media was becoming a way for brands to get their names out there. So we jumped on the, you know, the bandwagon of getting involved with social media, and now it's, things have taken off here so much, and we credit that to social media for sure, spreading the word. People now know who we are, where we are, what we do, and you know, that's, that can be seen in our adoptions. The past couple of years, we've increased adoption so much that it's almost, you know, we didn't expect it so quickly, but it's, we've adopted out, you know, about 25% more each year for the past few years. So, yeah, it's been
and
wonderful.
And so how many animals right now do you have at the shelter? And I also want to talk about the kitty house and the work of Ruth Scheidegger, because she's been so wonderful and had actually alerted me to your new program with the kitty yoga. I want to talk about that. But let's talk about how many animals do you have right now, dogs, cats, and what's happening in terms of pet adoption?
Sure. So the number of animals vary, you know, given, you know, how many are coming in that day, how many are going out to be adopted. So typically we have around 75 or, you know, maybe a little bit more dogs and puppies. And then with cats, with our new building, we're able to hold about 100 cats, maybe even more, depending on how creative we get with our housing and our space issues here. But yeah, we just recently moved into our new feline building, and prior to being in this new building, we had all of our cats in the farmhouse that was original to this property, well, at least for the past 100 years or so. The cats were in a house that was not really intended to be an animal shelter, but we made it work for a long time. The vision of this new feline building was one of the board, and it was really led by Ruth Ann. Like you mentioned, she's the president of our board, and she's a huge cat lover, and knowing kind of what our needs were at the time and where we want to be in the future, she built this amazing facility for the cats. It is three levels. We have cats on two of the levels. They're free-roaming cats, and for the cats that like their own space, they have their own personal condos where they have plenty of room to run and jump and play and visit with people coming in. One of my favorite parts of the new feline building is that we have a catio, which is a patio for the cats where they can go in and out.
I love it.
It's a wraparound porch that's completely screened in, and it's a really industrial strength type screen, so there aren't any worries of them scratching and you know, clawing the screen. But they can sit outside in the sun and watch the birds and be completely safe and just enjoy life.
I can't wait to see it and take a tour, and I need to get over there soon. And I love that on your website. I do want to point that out to our listeners. Five acres animal shelter.org, that you can donate online, and it makes it real easy. You can just click there and give a donation of any amount, $10, $100, whatever you feel inspired. I'm sure people can make a donation in memory of their own pet that may have gone to Rainbow Heaven and Rainbow Bridge, actually, and, you know, make a memorial gift in honor of a friend who may have just lost a cat or a dog. I always think it's important to send a sympathy card, because I know my cats and dogs are my kids, and they're part of my family, and they give me unconditional love, and they're at my side every day of their little precious life. And so do you have that kind of program, Becky, that someone can make a gift in memory or in honor of someone?
Absolutely, we do, and that's all on our website, or people can come in to the shelter and make those donations in person. I'd like to mention also that we cannot survive without donations. We are run completely through the support of the community. We don't receive money from the government. We're not United Way funded. We are strictly run by the donations from people. And so this is a great way for people to, you know, give back and to also show support for their loved ones by making a donation in memory or in honor of a person or a pet.
I love that, and that is on your website, as well as I love this concept, Angels for Animals, and become an angel for an animal and give monthly gift. And that's so easy. You know, you can make that gift once and not have to think about it. You know, I think often people get asked to make gifts at the end of the year when they're, you know, tied up with Christmas shopping and everything else, but you can just do a monthly gift, you know, $20 a month. $10 a month adds up, and if you have matching gifts through your company, make sure to check. The list is published on their website if your company does matching gifts, and that you have a wish list. Let's talk about your wish list, because a lot of times people give things away to Goodwill or actually throw at things in the trash that are actually usable for animal shelters. So talk about the things on your wish list and what people can donate.
Yeah, we always have needs that we're looking to fill, whether it's a, you know, cleaning supplies or you know, newspaper for lining the kennels of the puppies, or, you know, there's always something there that we can use. And another thing, you know, we have a gift shop here at 5 Acres. And so when people are coming to adopt a pet, they can walk right over to our gift shop. They don't mind if it's a used food bowl or, you know, a leash or a collar, so they can purchase those things and the money goes back to the shelter. And then in addition, when we have things that are donated that maybe we all of a sudden have a whole bunch of newspapers and we're not sure what to do with all of the dog food that came in because we don't want it to go bad, we have a program called Animeals, and this is a pet food pantry for low-income pet owners in our region. Right now we're feeding about 60 families, and what they're doing is they're coming once a month and they get the supplies that they need to make sure that their animals are well cared for. So if it's food, if it's cat litter, if it's dog treats, food bowls, water bowls, that sort of thing. Our hope is that we can keep the animals in homes and not have them, you know, they don't need to be surrendered to a shelter for a temporary problem. We can help out.
Do you work with food banks to let them know about that? Because I would think that if a food bank is doing a food drive with a church, that they could also, or if they get the pet supplies there at the food bank, that they can turn them over to you.
Yep, exactly. Yep, we work with different pet food, or there's a pet food pantry in St. Louis. There's, you know, the human food pantries all over, churches, you know, different caseworkers and you know, mental health professionals that we network with so that they know that this service exists.
Awesome. Well, coming up on September 11th, Sunday, 9/11, at Frontier Park in historic St. Charles, Butterfly Moon will be one of the vendors, and many other businesses are supporting and promoting your Trails for Tales event. Tell us about that event.
Sure. This is such a fun event. This is a 5K and 10K run or a 1 mile fun walk, and people can come. They can bring their dogs on leash if they would like, and the run is a timed run, so it's competitive, but it's fun. We have a lot of things going on that morning. There's a very large, you know, expo area, which we're happy that Butterfly and Moon will be there. We have over 40 vendors coming this year. And so far, right now, we have over 500 people registered for the run and the walk. So we're going to have a pretty fun crowd, I think. There will be things like dog contests like best kisser and best costume, little activities for the dogs to do. We'll have some adoptable pets out there if you want, you know, curious to see what we have available for adoption. We'll be doing microchipping. This is a big thing and a new thing that we're doing, where we will be able to microchip pets that aren't chipped. And, you know, microchip is such an important tool for especially dog owners, because sometimes it happens where your dog gets out of your house. I mean, it happens to the best of us, and sometimes they're not wearing their collars. But with that microchip, it is, you know, a way that they will get back to you much, much quicker. And for those of you that don't know, a microchip is, it's a tiny computer chip. It's the size of a grain of rice, and it's implanted right between the dog or the cat's shoulder blades. And that computer chip has information to get the dog or cat back home. So it would have your name, your telephone number, email address, backup contact, possibly the shelter where the pet was adopted, so that if the dog ends up in a shelter or at a vet's office, we scan to see if it has a chip. If it does, then we call the microchip company, get that info, and get them home. So we will be doing microchips for just $25, and that includes the lifetime registration. And so we'll be doing that at Trails
awesome.
This year.
Oh, that's so awesome. And, you know, that microchip service is a great idea. So will people be walking with their dogs? Are they encouraged to bring their pets or not? Or should they be left at home?
Nope.
What do you
it's
recommend?
Absolutely whatever they want to do. If they think that their dog would enjoy coming out and, you know, running or walking and playing games, then absolutely bring your dog. Personally, I have a dog who would just go crazy and be very miserable with all of that commotion. So he will be staying home that day. But yeah, we have lots of dogs come out, and they seem to have a good time.
And if people want to just come down to the expo, how late does the expo go till?
We'll be going till about noon that day.
Okay. So real early, get down there early. You can come down and browse around. Probably, I guess, all the booths will be set up by 8:30 by registration.
Correct. Yeah,
and they will be open through noon, and so it's going to be a beautiful day. The weather's starting to get cooler now, and
yes.
Just beautiful, beautiful weather. And are you doing any interviews on TV or radio between now and then besides the Live to Thrive?
Yes, so we will be on Fox 2 on Wednesday. Maybe Thursday, I believe, that we're going to be on two of the morning shows so that we can kind of promote the run. We'll be bringing adoptable dogs to the TV segment, and we're also bringing our mascot. Every year for Trails for Tales, we have a mascot pet, and usually it's an animal, a dog that's been adopted and has a great story. Instead, this year we are bringing one of our adoptable cats, and I know that sounds funny, but Blizzard the cat thinks he's a dog, so he is fantastic. He goes to all of our events. He walks on leash, and he loves dogs more than anything in the world, so I'm pretty sure he's going to have a fun time. So he'll be on TV next week as well. He's a solid white cat, and he's had some, you know, he's a little bit harder for us to adopt because he has allergies, like a lot of us, and he's on a daily allergy medication, and he's on a special diet. To me, that's not such a big deal, but for, you know, a lot of potential adopters, that, you know, they kind of get worried about the cost involved, but we know that his home is out there.
You mentioned allergies. I'm beginning to learn about the use of essential oils with animals, and we have some at Butterfly and Moon, and on September 28th, which is a Wednesday at 6 o'clock, we actually have a man named Todd Dorsey, who's a sort of an expert in the essential oils. He's going to be teaching a class on how to use the essential oils for pets, and one of the things that, you know, instead of using toxic shampoo that has a lot of chemicals, or bug repellent sprays, I think tea tree oil can be put in with water and spritzed on your dog. I mean, are you familiar with the use of essential oils for pets with allergies or other issues?
I don't know that we've tried anything with Blizzard, but we have, you know, we use a lot of oils, like, you know, for the calming, like lavender and things to kind of calm the animals that are here. We've used it on their bedding and, you know, some of their toys just to kind of give them a little bit more comfort. It's very interesting, and, you know, I love the idea of going with, you know, alternative options rather than going straight to a medication. So that might be something that we need to look into for our friend Blizzard.
Yeah, and if you can't make it at our class, it's a free class at 6 o'clock on the 28th, we'll come to you. We'll be happy to repeat the class at 5 Acres, and it might be something interesting for the volunteers to learn about. But in addition to lavender, some of the oils that are safe for for pets and for people. Like, I have a lot of allergies. I have, my doctor told me I had an allergy to cats and not to let the cats in the bedroom. Well, that's kind of silly because, you know, of course, on the bed, and there's no way I'm going to keep the bedroom door shut and keep my cats out of my bedroom. But I actually, I was actually introduced to an, another health supplement that's based on the fruit called mangosteen. That's the national fruit of Thailand. And I'll be darned, I've been drinking that as a juice. I've been drinking that for 8 years, and I've been off all my asthma medicine. And, I mean, we have not only three cats, we have two dogs, and we have a cockatoo, as well as carpeting, and not the best ideal situation for someone with asthma, but I haven't had to use an inhaler or take steroids or do any medical pharma solution because I've been using alternative things that are, you know, plant-based. I think there's a lot of things in nature that can help us. Switching subjects altogether, because one of the things that I saw in your background that I had never heard of or thought of before was a group called Soul Dog Rescue and working with people on Native American reservations. And that just had never occurred to me. Tell us about your work there. Is that organization still in existence? And what are some of the issues that Native Americans face with their animals?
That is a fantastic organization, and they're doing so well, and I'm so happy to have been a part of that. I kind of, unfortunately, my time got a little bit crazy when I took over here at 5 Acres, so I've not been able to help out as much as I would like to, but it's a national organization, but there are some volunteers here locally that are involved, and so just kind of through some contacts, I met somebody who, you know, I talked to and learned about the organization and offered my services to them. But what they're doing is they are going to Native American reservations and offering spay-neuter clinics where, you know, people can come get their pets spayed and neutered. They do vaccinations, basic medical treatment, and it's been a huge help for the people in those areas. So right now, you know, there is a ton of stray animals and unwanted animals. Overpopulation on reservations is very high because they don't have the resources to, you know, properly care for their pets. They don't have the money to spay neuter. They don't have, you know, the resources for the low-cost vaccination. So this group is going out into those communities and helping, you know, taking unwanted animals, matching them up with shelters and getting them homes, but then also spay-neuter to prevent unwanted litters. They're a fantastic group of people, and, you know, they do whatever they need to do to help the communities that they're serving. So it's a great organization.
Well, I'm just, you know, it's amazing to me because there are so many different groups, but this one I had not heard of, and that they operate a thrift store in Colorado. And I used to live in Denver. So I'll have to tell my that live near Denver and Englewood to come to the thrift store out there. And you can go to their website at souldog.org and check them out and see what they're up to. That's kind of a neat organization. So what's your biggest challenge as an executive director running a nonprofit, personally or professionally?
You know, I think that there's a lot of challenges, but there's a lot of good times too. Really, I think one of the big challenges when you're working in animal welfare is making sure that you are mentally okay, you know, because the staff here, the volunteers, we see a lot of things that are hard to understand. You know, people call us throughout the day and send emails constantly of, you know, that they can't keep their pets or they found a pet and they don't know what to do. You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, sometimes we feel helpless and that, you know, what good are we doing and how can I, you know, I just almost feel overwhelmed sometimes with the requests of, you know, everything that needs to be done for particular animals. So I think, you know, just in this environment, one challenge and that I really try to focus on is making sure that my staff and volunteers aren't struggling with that. You know, if they need to talk about things, they need to, outlets, they need to have their own personal time where they can, you know, go exercise or go, you know, read a book or find whatever makes them happy. It has a term. I mean, it's called compassion fatigue. It's not something that you just see in, you know, the medical fields or, you know, dealing with humans. People that are working with animals absolutely can, you know, have compassion fatigue. So really working to make sure that everybody is doing okay. And, you know, we offer a lot of like classes for our staff and our volunteers and opportunities to talk and opportunities to figure out what can we do? You know, is there something that we can do to help this certain situation or to make it better so that we feel like we're, you know, at least trying to make it.
Yeah, that is important to have some downtime and mm-hmm. to recharge your batteries and having worked in a lot of different nonprofit programs to just take time to do some self-care. So because mm-hmm. this program is called Alive to Thrive and it's about living full out and living a positive life, what are some things you do to recharge your batteries?
One of the things, and it's very difficult to do sometimes, but I, you know, I am trying to get better at it is, you know, when I get home at the end of the day, I have two kids, I have three pets, I have a husband, I have foster animals, you know, I have other things that I need to do. I need to not check my email, my work email. You know, I have to stay off of Facebook or, you know, just sort of disconnect for a little while and focus on my family and, you know, what needs to be done at my house. And just that separation is, like I said, it's really hard to do, but it's so important just to have that time to be able to focus on other things. But, yeah, I mean, as a parent with young kids, a lot of my free time is running around to baseball practice and different, you know, school concerts and activities. So, you know, just trying to have fun with the kids, you know, is important and they need that. And, you know, I can see when it gets to the point where, you know, they're getting upset or frustrated because I'm on my phone or I'm on the computer. So I just have to stop what I'm doing and remember that they're priority. So I think that's probably the main thing is disconnecting.
This is something I never would have thought that you guys offer at 5 Acres Animal Shelter, and that is a venue to host a birthday party. And I think that's a great place to take kids instead of taking them to Chuck E. Cheese's. You mm-hmm. can take them to 5 Acres and rent a party room. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yep, this is so much fun. So we are just so fortunate in that we have parents contact us quite often and tell us that, you know, the child's having a birthday party and instead of presents, they want to bring presents for the animals. And that is so wonderful. Again, going back to that, you know, fostering that compassion for living things is important. And so I love it when parents encourage that. You know, and that's up to the kids. If they want to have presents for themselves too, of course, they can still do that. We will give them the room for a couple of hours. They can bring in all of their friends. They can bring cake or ice cream or pizza, whatever they want to do. Have some time to celebrate the birthday, you know, birthday party. But then we'll also let them visit with the animals here. We'll walk them around. They can see the dogs and cats. And most times we will be able to take out a puppy or a kitten for them to play and to, you know, to pet. So it's just, it's a ton of fun for everybody. We love doing it. We love having the groups come out.
That is so neat. How is Christmas time different at the shelter than it is during the year?
Well, there's a couple things. First of all, Christmas typically is puppy season, which means we usually have a lot of puppies around Christmas time. So it can be kind of chaotic and crazy, but fun. We also understand that it's the end of the year. So a lot of people are, you know, feeling generous and feeling about, you know, that they want to make donations to organizations that they believe in. but also kind of helps to get that tax write-off in for the end of the year. So we do try to do some fundraising around that time, and that's fundraising that carries out throughout the year. You know, if you make a donation in December, I mean, it's, you know, we use the money for the animals and year-round, you know, so it's very important to us. We do see a lot more donations come in as far as supplies, you know, if it's pet food or pet litter, toys, presents for the animals, you know, and that's awesome too. We love spoiling the animals here, so we give them Christmas presents too.
Great. And all year long is so important, you know, especially summer when people, you know, sometimes I noticed at nonprofits you get a lot at Christmas time, but then through the summer months the donations are down and it's a little bit harder. So just remember 5 Acres throughout the year. You can find them on Facebook, and you can also find them online at 5acresanimalshelter.org. And so follow them on Twitter. Visit their Facebook page and just tell people about it. You know, one of the simple thing people can do is go to the website, print out the wish list, and post that wish list at your church or your school or at a coffee shop, and just get that wish list circulated, because if people see that wish list, then they can get something on there. Also, I think it's also really a great idea if you're having a birthday and you don't need a bunch of stuff in your house, you can just ask your friends to donate a cat or dog supply. They can, you know, bring it wrapped or unwrapped to your birthday party, and then just, like, do a collection or a drive and then drop that off at 5 Acres. So want to give out the phone number, 636-949-9918. And I'm sure after 9/11, after September 11th, if you want to have a tour, you can call Becky and take a tour of the shelter. And again, support your local animal shelter, whatever town you live in. Everybody doing a little bit can go a long way. Any other closing thoughts or things that we didn't talk about that we should have talked about?
You know, the only other thing that we didn't really talk much about is where our animals come from. And I think that this is important for people to know. You know, we do not euthanize for space, so we don't take in stray animals for that very reason. But we do take in owner surrenders by appointment. But a lot of our animals are coming from animal control organizations, overcrowded shelters and rescues that, you know, aren't able to place as many animals. So all of the animals that are coming here, you know, have been in danger at one point of being euthanized. So once they get here, they're safe, they're happy, they're healthy, and they're ready for their new homes. So I think, you know, 5 Acres is just kind of a part of the big picture of what we do with overpopulation and finding homes for pets. So I'm happy that we can get those animals from those overcrowded shelters and euthanizing organizations and bring them to where they're safe.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate all the work you do, and often people aren't thanked enough for what they do in the community. So thank you, Becky, for everything you do, and we look forward to seeing you on September 11th at Frontier Park for the Trails for Tails 5K and 10K walk run, and we look forward to taking a tour soon as well. So thanks so much, and we'll see you soon.
Okay, thank you so much.
We're going to end with Who Let the Dogs Out, just a fun, silly song.
Who let the dogs out?
Was nice, the party was something nice.
Hey,
and everybody having a ball.
Ha,
until the fellas start the name calling. And the girls respond to the call.
Ha,
I have a poor one shout out.
Who let the dogs out?
Scruffy, get back, you flea infested mongrel. Gonna tell my
myself, I'm man, no get angry.
Hey, yeah, D-I-O.
To where the girls calling them canine. Hey,
D-I-O.
But they tell me, hey, man, start up the party.
D-I-O.
You put a woman in front and a man behind. I have a woman shout out.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
Say, my doggy is nothing if he don't.